Welcome to the Bunker Hill Cheesecast, brought to you by Heine's Cheese Chalet, a little place with big taste. I'm Missy Horsfall, Director of Tourism Relations. A mere 14 miles from Berlin, Ohio, is a little town originally settled in 1819 by Swiss Mennonites fleeing persecution and poor farming conditions in their homeland in the Sonnenberg area of Switzerland, and later gave their new town the name of Sonnenberg. The present-day name is Kidron, and although it is located in Wayne County, it is in a tri-county area we like to call Ohio Amish Country. One of the mainstays of this little community is a store that started in 1955 as a hardware store serving the Amish community and has grown to become an important tourist destination with thousands of visitors each weekend during the busy season. In 1955, Jay Lehman opened Lehman's Hardware in Kidron, Ohio, in what once was Kidron's Auto Repair and Gas Station. By 1960, several of his family members had joined him in the business, including his brother, sister, and father. Later, his son Galen would join the business while still in high school, and eventually, his daughter would work there as well. Although it began by selling goods to their Amish community, which now make up about 8-9% of their customer base, the company has grown much in part to a number of national crises. The first one was in 1973 with the oil embargo, creating an oil crisis and dwindling oil supplies. People began to look for low-tech solutions to their problems and sought out Lehman's. The same influx happened with Y2K, the Northeast blackout of 2003, and 9/11. Over the years, Lehman's has built a reputation of being the largest supplier of non-electric goods in the world. With four Civil War-era buildings under one roof, including two barns, Lehman's has grown to 35,000 square feet of unique and interesting products. Lehman's has much to offer both locals and tourists, as it is also somewhat of a museum, with Jay Lehman's antique collections scattered throughout the store. My guest today is Glenda Lehman Irvin, Director of Marketing. Welcome, Glenda.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me here.
I am so excited to have you here. One of the reasons is, as we have worked together in business, I've heard so many stories about your dad, who I never met, but learning the history of Lehman's and how that came about and the fact that it's family, you know, it's a family business and a lot of the family has been involved in it through the years. There's just something special about that. And so that connection has been really cool.
That there really is. Lehman's was founded, as you mentioned, by my father, Jay Lehman, in 1955, and he was selling non-electric appliances to the local Amish. Of course, in 1955, that wasn't unusual because many local people in rural America didn't have indoor plumbing and electricity and all of that. The difference was Dad wanted to keep selling those things regardless of what happened around him. So I'm sure in the 70s, 80s, 90s, people told him, oh, Jay, that's old-fashioned. Nobody wants that stuff anymore. But he was passionate about keeping the products people needed to live a rural, simple life, a life that is satisfying and understandable. Think of spending time outdoors, raising chickens and goats, and providing food for your family from your own garden, many things that the Amish do. Dad never expected the business to grow so large. And as you know, he passed away peacefully in July of 2020 at the age of 91.
Amazing.
Up until the past 6-8 months, he had been working. He had been playing tennis twice a week. He was passionate about planting trees, and a low guesstimate of how many that he has planted over his lifetime is 30,000 trees. He was such a character, a man of few words, but he had been called the grandfather of green because he was so environmentally conscious. Mm-hmm. But to him, it was a fact of growing up, waste not, want not.
Yes.
So one time I told him a story about a customer had sent me an email saying that they were reducing their carbon footprint. And he was always interested in new terms and what people were thinking. So I told him that. And I told him how they were living in a kind of communal setting, and they shared gardens and they shared agriculture and childcare. And he said, yep, we had customers like that back in the 70s. We called them hippies.
It's kind of amazing, like what goes around comes around kind of a thing.
He used to say the pendulum swings both ways.
Yes.
So what was 80s, the me generation, the fancy car, you know, and spend all my money in the McMansion. And now it's kind of swung the other way. I don't know if you've ever heard of the term cottage core. Core means you're all in on something. So your yoga core or puppy core or whatever. And cottage core, my 21-year-old daughter told me about it. It's young people's movement, similar to homesteading, But it's the idea that less is more. Mm. You live in a cottage and you've got daffodils planted outside and the little garden in back with a chicken and a goat, and you share meals at home with family. It's very almost like 1920s, 1930s. But her dream is not that big house on the hill and all of that, but is this quaint little cottage. And she even has kind of an online Pinterest page of what this little cottage will look like. It's yellow at the moment with a white picket fence, if you can picture it.
It's kind of funny how things do seem to come back, even fashion or fads or any of those things. But I know that your tagline is a simpler life. Mm-hmm. And that resonates with a lot of people. And I think that's one of the reasons tourists come to this area, because they see that.
It is. And it's very aspirational, because you can always take another step on your journey to a simpler life. So perhaps you're going to start out by buying locally made products, but then you're going to make them yourselves, and then you're going to grow what you need to make them yourself. So we help people on that next step to their journey to a simpler life, and it's predicated on five pillars that we base everything on. The first one is satisfaction. Okay, why would you bake a pie from scratch when, especially around here, you can go buy one? It's satisfying to give something to someone and say, I made this for you. The second is understandable. So much of our world, our cell phones, our cars, our computers, we're helpless if something goes wrong. So think of our real mower. It's a push mower. With a traditional mower, if it stops working, you got to call a mechanic. Something's wrong with the oil or the carburetor. I don't know what's wrong with it. With our push mower, if it's not working, you're not walking, because the blades just spin and cut the grass. So you've got satisfying, understandable, sustainable. Heating with wood, gardening, recycling, using tools that last, paying a little more for a quality product that you can pass down to the next generation. And then my favorite is comforting. I think of like today, it's cold and rainy outside. I can't wait to get home tonight and play a board game in front of the fireplace with my husband. And it's that being together. And certainly 2020 showed us that we can have fun indoors with our loved ones. And then the last one is preparedness. And it doesn't mean preparing for end times. It means preparing for a chink in the food chain, as we've seen in 2020 and 2021 too. Maybe it's a short-term power outage. Maybe it's a snowstorm or a blizzard or a tornado. So what we message is be prepared, not scared. So if you have, you know, your wood stacked up and your pantry full and you've got what you need to take care of your family, you don't have to toss and turn at night. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it has to do with mental and emotional health and stability and connecting with family and friends and those that you love.
Yeah. One of the reasons I think it's such a great place for tourists and locals alike to visit is that if they come to this area and they're drawn to the simple life, and there does seem to be a peace here in this area, coming into the store will give them 100 ideas of ways that they can, as you said, first steps, take those steps in their life to begin some of the process for themselves. It's a fascinating store. Tell me a little bit about the building itself and what you have inside.
Sure, the building was probably about 1,200 square feet when Dad bought it, and he was the only employee. And then he borrowed money from his father, my grandfather, to buy the store. And he wasn't generating quite enough income to pay back the monthly agreement, and that was not okay with him. So he drove a school bus in the morning and the afternoon. He needed somebody to watch the store while he drove the school bus. So he hired his father, Ezra, his banker, to be his first employee. Then he hired his sister and his brother and a longtime family friend. So people forget, for a long time, it was a tiny little hardware store in very rural America with a handful of family members. Then he would add on for more storage and turn it into retail, and add on for more storage and turn it into retail. So it's kind of like 10 or 12 little stores in one, which is why it has that big wandering feeling. In 2011, then, we doubled the size of the store. Inside the store are lots of museum quality antiques. I'm talking copper tub wringer washers, tractors, a goat powered treadmill, all kinds of farm equipment, some ditch digging tools that my grandfather used to have. Apparently that was his first job. We also have some lovely collections on loan, water pumps and grain grinders and all kinds of things. So it really is like going to a museum and going shopping all in one. There's a toy section with all kinds of imagination-powered toys for the little ones. There's a pantry. Years ago, we didn't sell food. Our mission was to help you prepare your own food. Then we realized we live in Ohio, the breadbasket of the Midwest. We've got noodle makers and popcorn growers and honey harvesters and maple syrup tappers. And so the majority of our food in the pantry is locally sourced. We have, which is new, apparel and jewelry. we do get a lot of tourists, and we realize someone coming to Amish country on vacation maybe doesn't want to buy a wood-fired water heater or a gas refrigerator. So we've got some lovely upcycled purses, jewelry, apparel. That's brand new. And then we have stuff for laundry, soap, candles, and home decor. We have an all-year-round Christmas store, which is new because people would come in. A lot of what we add is because customers ask for it. Mm-hmm. They're on vacation. It's July. It's 90 degrees out. But they said, do you have any Christmas ornaments? So we're constantly listening to our customers. And then one of our most popular rooms and one of our largest is the housewares room. Oh, cookie cutters and apple peelers and grain grinders and noodle makers. You know, if you're going to grow your own food, you're going to have to chop it, bake it, cook it, fry it, dehydrate it, freeze it, do something with it. And that's the room for all of that. We have a cafe. Before we expanded in 2011, there was no place to sit down and no place to get anything to eat or drink. And people were leaving. So we thought, well, if they want a place to sit and get something to eat or drink, we'll offer the cafe. We have a whole section of books and puzzles. You've probably heard, but puzzles have been so incredibly popular. I like to think that a whole new generation has seen the joy that putting together a jigsaw puzzle. I mean, talk about satisfying and understandable, right?
Yes.
It's right there in front of you. Put the pieces together.
Right.
And then at the other end of the store, we have the more serious kind of products. We have the wood heating and cook stoves. We have the gas refrigerators, the water pumps, the composting toilets. We like to think of those products. We have everything you need to live without electricity for heat, food, light, and water. Dad used to call that the cake. The icing is the cute apparel and the adorable toys and all of that stuff. That the cake is much better with it. But what we're really here for, based on his original mission, is to help people be self-sufficient. And really, all of us should have some means to protect ourselves if there's no power. During Y2K, we saw a tremendous outpouring of people who were concerned that without electricity, they wouldn't have a way to heat their homes or wash their clothes. The gas stations would run dry. The banks wouldn't work. Now, we know that that didn't happen. The idea was when 1999 turned over to 2000, the three zeros would basically break the grid. But if it had happened, it was January here in Ohio. I don't know what your listeners have set up, but if there was no power in the world in the month of January in Ohio, do you have a way to cook your food and heat your home and all of that? So we saw a lot of people who weren't familiar with the way of life. Layman's used to be a place where you were a farmer. You were an Amish housewife. Mm-hmm. You came in and you knew what you needed. During Y2K, we realized that there are hundreds of thousands of people that have lost that generational knowledge. Mom didn't can, grandma didn't can, great-grandma didn't, and so they really have no idea where to start. So we saw that again during the pandemic. The difference with the pandemic is there's no hard end. Like Y2K, there was a hard end,
yes.
Right? New Year's Eve, it didn't happen.
Right.
And so again, we're seeing a lot of people who aren't familiar with this way of life, which we are passionate about teaching. We're very happy to do that because we believe that the product is the what. That's the actual thing. And then the how. How do I make butter? How do I bake sourdough bread? But most importantly, the why. Why do I need to do this? And that goes back to for a simpler life.
Mm-hmm. And you offer classes. You offer experiences at the store. Of course, maybe some of that has changed, but also on your website there and blogs and all kinds of things. So as a resource, your website is amazing just to get on there and look around. If you want to learn about it or find out more about it and the things that you offer, I think in terms of the videos and the classes and all of those things, you also recently built a tiny house, I think, didn't you, outside?
We did. 200 square feet of practicality and adorability. You can take a tour. It won't take long.
And it's pretty amazing. I mean, I've seen them on TV, but going through it and being in it, it was a totally different feel to it. And then I don't know how much of the rest of the little area outside you have done, but the self-sustaining garden and all of those things. So it's almost like a hands-on experience that you experience, but you also, like, when I'm there, like, ideas are popping off in my head because you think of all these other things.
We want to inspire people to be aspirational. I can do this. We want to give them confidence. And the tiny house has been very popular. Some people would use it as an office. I would love to have one as a she shed. I'm sure my husband would love a man cave. I heard a woman say that her two teenage boys shared a bedroom. And so she got a tiny house. And one of them lived in the tiny house on the property, the older one. Because then he could play his guitar or his drums or play his Xbox or whatever he wanted to. I've heard of putting grandma there. That way she's on the property. You can keep an eye on her. and maybe it's portable. And so she spends the summer at this son's house and then the winter at this daughter's house. And so she still has her privacy, or grandpa for that matter. People use them as summer homes. So there's a lot of functionality to them. The one that we built, fully furnished, including the shed, is it cost about $15,000. So the idea would be you would sell your car, your house, yeah. You'd pay off all your debt, you'd pay cash, you'd live off the land. So instead of working 60 hours a week, you work 6 hours a week.
That's
because
amazing.
You have so little need for money. And that goes back to the kind of cottage core. Mm-hmm. I don't want to work just to make money, just to buy stuff mm-hmm. that I have to take care of. It's the opposite of that. I want to treasure what I have. I want to buy from Goodwill and garage sales. I want to barter with friends. That's a big thing that we're seeing now that, you know, used to be, I'll give you a chicken if you change the tire on my tractor. And that's a big thing now is one property will grow sweet potatoes and then the next one will grow strawberries and they'll trade. One will have chickens for eggs and the other one will have a cow for milk and they'll just trade. So it's almost a cashless society.
Hmm. That's fascinating. And it's fascinating to me that it's coming back mm-hmm. because I am old enough to not have lived during those times, but my parents and my grandparents, obviously, those were the stories that were told to me. You know, they went through the war and through rationing and all of those things. So it's fascinating that it's sort of coming full circle and back again, and people are interested in that. And truly, with, you know, going through the pandemic recently, it tells you that the world can turn on its head in a day, you know, in a moment, and really find yourself in uncertain times.
Yes. And our prepping community, we've got the homesteaders, which is more than a gardener, less than a farmer. Basically, you're providing for your family. And then we've got the preppers who are preparing in the event of a natural disaster or a pandemic, which is one of the things they've been talking about for years. And people thought, oh, well, that's out there, because their lives didn't change, because they're still on the homestead. They're still mm-hmm. doing what they did. They tend not to interact with the outside world that much. Although, interestingly enough, most of them are online, but that's their connection to mm-hmm. is being online, being on YouTube and FaceTime and that sort of thing. And then we have the more kind of serious group of the survivalists. That's a smaller group, but they're very passionate about if something horrible would happen, being able to take care of their own. And then of course we have the chronically nostalgic. We have the people that appreciate USA made and Ohio made. I have no intention, honestly, of living without electricity. My house, as you can imagine, is full of Layman's products. I like they're handcrafted, signed on the bottom. They're unique. I have people come in all the time and say, "Where did you get that?" And I just kind of look at them. Ah, Layman's.
Yes, exactly. And speaking of the internet, your internet sales is one area that has grown immensely in the last little while, hasn't it?
It really has. You know, back in the day, in 1955, we were a store. And then in the 70s, we were a store with a catalog. Then we were a mail order business because the catalog was bigger than the store. Now we're a national digital business with one retail store.
Yeah.
That's how it's changed. And of course, the nice thing about the website is people can access us from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So we use high tech to sell low tech.
Amazing. And as ironic as that is, it's almost unusual in today's day and age. You have so many things that it's hard to find places. And I know, like with Y2K, one of the things that struck me, I mean, going through that time period, Layman's was on the national stage in the news because people were, you know, they were trying to find these things. And I remember watching the national news one night and I thought, whoa, there's Layman's Hardware right there
mm-hmm.
talking about little town of Kidron and going and finding what you need in preparation for, you know, what might happen. But the idea that you can go online, find what you need, I mean, obviously that's the way most people shop nowadays. Mm-hmm. So it's wonderful that you have a full online store and catalog. But the store itself is such a unique experience. I highly recommend, even locals, if you haven't been there for a while, go back because it's a pretty amazing place. I love to just go in and we take our visitors there. I mean,
oh,
all those things.
You.
Yeah,
now, that's one of the greatest compliments when local people have family or friends from out of town and they say, you know, what's unique to the area? Well, let's go to Layman's.
Mm-hmm.
And we really appreciate that. We see a lot of local people in with families around the holidays, the week between Christmas and New Year's. And we see them every year, and we hear all the time, oh, my uncle lives in Tennessee. Every time he comes to visit, we have to go to Layman's. So I'm convinced everybody has a relative in Ohio. I think that's the way it works. So in 2022, again, with the national interest, we were featured in the Wall Street Journal, Smithsonian Magazine, New York Times, and the Washington Post. LA Times, if I said that. But it's the idea that there is this store that specializes mm-hmm. in such a niche that occasionally has very broad appeal. So in the 1970s, we were very popular because of the energy embargo, the fuel crisis. 20 years later, it was Y2K. 20 years later, it was the pandemic. So we're happy that we can be here and help people and honestly take that next step on that journey to a simpler life. That's what we're here for.
Well, Glenda, I've known you for a while now, and you live what you say. When you say that that's your heart and your passion, I see it in the store. I hear it when I speak to you, everything I know about Layman's, that is the absolute truth. And I love that there's a place that locals and visitors alike can go and just see that in process, you know, a simpler life. Walk in there, it'll be everywhere. And that philosophy of life follows through. It may be a business directive objective, but it's absolutely true. And I love that about Layman's. I love that about a lot of places in the area that just live out their values. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Layman's is the place that does
that. I appreciate that. I think this area is very authentic. I mean, yes. The farmers in the fields, they're really farmers in the fields. They're not actors.
They're really plowing the ground.
Yeah, somebody asked me once when Amish Country opened. I said, well, it's pretty much open all the time. If you're talking about the individual businesses, I'd say Monday through Saturday and closed on Sunday.
Oh, that's funny. Yes, when does it open? Because it's just a unique area. And so I know that the people that come here, there's something about it. And again, as you say, something to aspire to, mm-hmm. something that sort of, I think, is encouragement and gives people hope, you know, especially in uncertain times. It's like, oh, yeah, people did this all the time. You know, we're so reliant on technology, which is a wonderful thing. However, people did a lot before there ever was technology.
Yeah, and my dad was concerned, you know, when we think of things becoming extinct, we think of dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. But products can become extinct. Browning camera, the Packard automobile, but ways of life can become extinct. If nobody knows how to build a root cellar, mm-hmm. or nobody knows how to install a water pump, then those products and that way of life will become extinct. And that was part of his goal, is to preserve the past for future generations.
Mm, I love that. Preserving the past for future generations. Layman's for the simpler life. Thanks again, Glenda, for being on the podcast with me. I hope that our listeners are encouraged to come out and see you, because it's an amazing place. As you said, it's almost like a museum, and the quality of product is amazing. And you have so much to offer. Like, you take your whole family and sure. everyone would find something.
Well, and I would encourage your listeners to visit laymans.com/events. We are doing events in a safe, secure manner. Many are outside, but we do have something fun happening every single weekend. Think axe throwing and goat yoga and cloggers and homemade ice cream and all kinds of unusual things.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. And I'm going to check out some of those events on your website as
Great.
Well. So thanks again, Glenda, for
Thank
joining
you.
Me.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And now it's time for Did You Know? Did you know that in the late 1980s, Layman's discovered a new market for their products when they were contracted by a property master trying to locate a cast iron stove for the film Back to the Future Part 3? Since the 1990 release of that film, Layman's has provided historic period props for a number of different films and television series. Although many area Amish still come to Layman's for their non-electrical goods, the demographic makeup of Layman's customers has moved to those outside the community. Besides the Amish and tourists that come to the store is a resource for homesteaders, missionaries, environmentalists, survivalists, and doctors in developing countries to purchase items needed for simple living. Layman's also counts among its customers the American Red Cross, Peace Corps volunteers, and Hollywood set designers who use the store to find historically accurate items for decorating period sets. And now you know.